This was the first real introduction we had to Darth Plagueis, whatever.
Yeah.
In the whole story, really.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I mean, you know, part of the fact that the material is actually interesting,
mm-hmm.
that they're talking.
Yeah.
About.
Oh yeah.
Very compelling. Yeah. Very compelling.
Makes it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, wow, George Lucas is actually. I mean, he's got me hooked here.
Yeah.
It's not because of action. It's not because of visuals. It's because what these people are saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but.
But how many people have you talked to who weren't necessarily, you know, hardcore fans who said, I didn't like episode 3, it felt rushed, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's because people just didn't care about this trilogy anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean,
people didn't care about, you know, because their affections belong to Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings now.
I
thought the movie was, you know, kind of weak in some aspects, of course. And, you know,
but
he's telling a lot of story, you know, in kind of a short period of time.
Well, mm-hmm. it's sort of like Return of the King, where it's like, if you look at that movie, there's so much story
right.
that they need to cover. And
right.
anybody who read the book knew that.
Right.
I mean, even anybody who, you know, watched the first two movies in here, even if you don't even watch, even if you watch the Clone Wars,
right.
you still know there's so much stuff that you have to see in here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so,
my favorite planet.
Shit, they didn't show Kashyyyk.
Yeah, I know.
It's my favorite planet.
I know. It really would have been great to see more of this. Like, I mean, it served a specific purpose, and you know,
right.
it did it well. I think. You know, I mean, I think a lot of this stuff going to a different planet and stuff like that was just to see sort of the how. Far,
oh, right.
The Clone Wars was spanning.
Most definitely. Yeah. But there's an opportunity to have some really, really, really cool battles with lots
yeah.
of big stuff, and you know, see lots of Wookiees in action,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is kind of the popular character.
Yeah.
You know, and that was kind of, and I mean, I know that would have cost a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
But you know, that opportunity was kind of missed. I think.
He could afford it. Just give us half an hour of a Wookiee battle, and yeah, we're good. I'll sit through a 3-hour Star Wars movie. Just give me some Wookiees. I actually remember watching, I think it was the second part of the second Clone Wars set, where it's like, they sort of, again, it's one of those things where you see how far into the galaxy the Clone Wars have spread, and the first thing you see are Wookiees, and it's like, cool, they're Wookiees. They're animated.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, this is probably my favorite ground battle.
I mean, there's not really much of a ground battle in this.
Well,
I mean,
but I mean, what?
I mean,
what
I,
the implied ground battle.
Yeah,
the implied ground battle.
Yeah. Soon to be seen on some video game, I'm sure. But
no, already game. Yeah.
Is it?
I mean, aren't? Oh wait a minute. No, is it the?
I love that.
Oh, that's so cheesy.
I just.
Unnecessary.
I am in Star Wars heaven now. I mean, this is like.
Yeah.
How great is it to see Yoda commanding a bunch of Wookiees?
But that is cool.
It is really good.
I mean, that's just.
Yeah.
I don't know if we like ever. This is kind of like off the subject, but like, I just love how in 2002 we got to see really two really great things. We got to see Yoda shouting out battle commands and backwards Yoda talk. We got to see Aragorn shouting out battle commands in Elvish. That was just like, I just love how those two things, you know, came out of 2002. It was just, you know.
And now we know you're a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. As if we didn't already know it from
but I just,
the fact that how many of these commentaries have we done?
Exactly.
How many people are actually listening to them?
I'm holding up a zero right now.
Yeah.
You know, we do it for the love of the, you know, we do it for the love of commentaries. We do it for the love of movies, I think. So, you know.
Plus, we're trying to make our own, so, you know, it's part of a learning experience, too, for us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I know I sort of look at it that way. I mean, you know, this sort of informs a lot of, you know, my learning experience as an artist, and I'd like to consider myself an artist.
Mm-hmm.
But
Tamara Morrison as
Commander
Jango Fett.
Well, Jango Fett, but
the clone of Jango Fett.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Commander Cody. We don't see Boba Fett.
No, we don't.
Thoughts on that?
I don't miss him.
It's kind of interesting that they introduce him in episode 2, but you don't really see.
Well, I don't think he really had a part in this.
Yeah.
I
don't think so either.
I don't see him, him having a part in this.
Here, by the way, we were talking over the second use of the Force theme
as a hero theme. Right.
The other ones.
What do you think of the Dreamworld stuff? What do you think of that? And do you like that visually?
Not really.
How else were they going to do it?
How are you going to do it?
Well, I mean, they're flashes. You're not going to get as elaborate as you would on.
She always looks good in black. Go ahead.
Yeah, she really does, actually. But okay, so we're moving on.
Yeah. How else are you going to do a dream sequence? I mean, those are hardest.
To make it look unique is the thing. They're not elaborate dream sequences we saw in Buffy, which I know you're more familiar with than David.
Restless.
Oh,
don't give me started.
I mean, even season 2, the dream sequences in Surprise and Innocence. Were pretty elaborate sequences. You know.
Restless, though, that's like the definitive
thing
for me. I love what Joss Whedon did with that.
But anyway, they're more like just relaying information quickly.
Doing it quickly and making it look as unique as possible.
I'll admit it's not the most enthralling thing ever in the history of dream sequences. I've seen better. But
it works well enough.
Yeah.
Because
like you only see it twice anyway, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Utapau.
Wow. This is the third moment of that love. The Force theme. The fourth one's a ways off, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But, I put in my review, which is just epic on this. But I do discuss this movie's place in the series more than I do anything.
With the Foley sound of the guy putting the staff down.
Yeah.
This
guy's really...
First of all, this is great makeup. This is wonderful makeup. This is the guy who played the Mathosaurin in Return of the King.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
In the extended version of Return of the King, you know.
Well, yeah.
Where
you
see the Mathosaurin. That's this actor.
Wow.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, didn't they film in Australia?
Yes.
Didn't they film a lot of this in Australia?
Yes.
Yeah.
I
can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I can hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually love that sequence in the extended edition.
So do I. I'm a fan of that scene as well.
But we can talk about that there.
Yeah, we could. We could. Couldn't we?
So are we going to do that next? Are we ready for a four-hour commentary?
Four-hour-plus
commentary?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was barely prepared for Return or Two Towers, so.
Yeah.
He didn't say.
Okay, so 30 seconds from that. you just quote dialogue, so. I love how clever Obi-Wan is in all of these movies. I love it. It's like, it makes all the sense in the world to me. That he is this brilliant in terms of strategy.
I didn't like how that guy was animated right there. But
the lizardy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It just didn't look quite up to snuff as he was running. But right here is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
guys are all dead anyway.
Oh well, yeah, you know, speaking of turning the Jedi theme on its ear,
I forgot about this.
Yeah,
this is really good.
That's a wonderful use of
it. I completely forgot about this. And I love his use of percussion throughout the prequel trilogy. It's just really he just really uses it brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this coming from a composer doesn't really who has a hard time working it into his own pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I'm just a flat out fan of film score, so I mean, like you and I can discuss that, until cows come.
Mm-hmm.
But now, did you ever notice how this is a reference to episode 4 right here, where he goes? That's kind of a reference to the moment in A New Hope where he's
where he first meets Luke.
Yeah, or where he first meets R2 anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, on guard. Never mind. Here you see the full flowering of Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is the warrior you've heard all about in the first trilogy, and he completely lives up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Look how they animated that clip.
Gosh. No. As cool as this battle is,
I was hoping there would be more.
I did too. I was like, especially if you see the Clone Wars, and see the way he moves in Clone Wars. Now, that would be very difficult to do in live action.
Right.
But ILM, I think, is established that they could be up to the task.
Right. Because, we're starting off awesome right here. That's a great idea.
Well, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is one of the sequences that Spielberg helped
storyboard.
Design.
I thought he was more involved with
the...
End
battle, but I mean, I think he had a hand in this one too. But I mean, I just
which that was the thing. Like when we were talking about the documentary, we were like, if you're going to talk about Spielberg helping out with storyboards,
just mention him. I mean, he's a fan of his movies. I mean,
well, I'm saying he's mentioned in some of the documentary material.
Well, I mean, they're pretty.
But
coy
you never
about it
you
too.
Never see him.
But they're coy about it. Show him doing this. I mean, good lord, what a kick that is.
Yeah. It was just like seeing him in the documentary for episode one. It was just like,
especially when you take into consideration he was once Lucas offered him Return of the Jedi.
Now that's something I have to get into, is like, what, there I've heard more than one, reason for Spielberg not directing Jedi.
I think it's because of the direct. Because of the director's guild. Yeah.
Like I heard that, and I'd heard that, like, Spielberg was like, I don't want to do this because it's your baby, George. Blah blah blah. I heard at one point like him supposedly saying that.
I honestly think if he had the chance to direct a Star Wars movie, he would have taken it.
Right.
Yeah,
I really think he would have taken.
I believe the director's guild thing more than I believe the other story.
Especially given the fact that, he's directed with Lucas producing on Indiana Jones. So it's like, I don't think it's necessarily that. Of course, that's collaboratively their thing.
But, if you look at Spielberg's sense of reality in science fiction and George Lucas's sense of reality in science fiction, they're completely...
They become very different.
Yes.
Back in... Well, actually, they have been ever since Close Encounters, really.
Mm-hmm.
He's been more grounded in reality, whereas Lucas has gone full out fantasy.
More fantastic, yeah.
But, I love the way that sort of chase scene between Grievous and Obi-Wan sort of begins, and I love the way it sort of plays out. It's really just kind of a pretty cool
chase. I didn't quite feel it on that one, Brian. I like the beginning of it. I thought the beginning of it was cool, but as the monster runs around, or the big lizard who rides runs around as the big wheel turns, You know, it's just not. You know, it's just not quite as cool as it could be. I don't know. You know, I just
okay. I mean, that's fair.
It's cool enough for me.
It's fair. I mean, yeah,
it's not bad. It's pseudo cool, but.
Now we'll give a little screen.
I do agree with. I mean, we did talk about it, and I mean, it's long past the Grievous Obi-Wan. Lightsaber duel.
Right.
You know, how we wish it could have been.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that as well.
You know, because of the fact, I mean, it just a little more impressive. Mm. You know, because you see, like I mentioned, it's like you see the way Grievous moves in the Clone Wars,
right.
Like, I mean, you just salivate at the idea of him going on, taking on Obi-Wan.
The same way.
And with that fighting style, I mean, Am I wrong?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe the wrong use of word, but
no,
idea behind it is
you're cool. No, you're cool. Yeah,
valid.
No. I'm
see,
down.
Yeah.
I'm down.
At least I didn't use organic. Which one was that?
What AI?
Is that
what
AI?
Moron would use that word.
Is that AI wrong?
And,
I can't remember.
Whose dumb idea was it to do episode 2 before episode 1?
That's an excellent question.
That's a dumb idea with that. Even the nature of the dark side.
30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, I can't talk, so you guys, you go for it, Dave.
No,
Go sin.
And
again, this is really.
I didn't. I didn't.
How could you not?
No. I'm just saying that the as we flow through the story. It's a little bit better than it was, I think, in the first two. You know,
oh yeah.
The way it's being drawn through the drama.
Well,
you know?
The way the story progresses, I mean, just the pace at which it progresses is solid.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's still Star Wars. We still have fight scenes.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, kind of disasters, and you know, some happy accidents or happy failures.
Yeah.
You know. All that's still happening, but you know it's a little bit more dramatic, and the way he takes the audience through that drama is a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, the thing is, it's like none of this is going to be news to fans.
It's
something that I want to bring up in Return of the King as well. And actually, the scene that you brought up earlier, the Mouth of Sauron scene, where you know there's nothing surprising in the story to fans.
Mm.
It's more how do the characters react.
Right.
That's what you're really, that's really how you need to look at some of these things. Like, you know, like Anakin realizing that Palpatine's the Emperor.
Right.
Darth Sidious. It's like, well, yes, we already knew that.
Right.
You know,
but you know
how Anakin turns. It's like, yes, we already knew that and all that stuff.
But you know, I mean, you know, some people weren't exactly clear. Because, I mean, there's multiple different versions of different things. You know, people have written their own backstories. I mean, you know, Lucas is the only person to write about Star Wars. You know, there's been different books and different things written about
it. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, what is the definitive way that this happened? You know, people can see the movies as that. Okay, and then, you know, does that definitive way live up to sort of all the other things that have been hinted at?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, so, you know, just... That's sort of definitive explanation, I think, you know, people were looking forward to, too.
Yeah. I mean, really, this is the movie where that has all the meat and bones of what people wanted to see, anyway.
Right.
I mean, everything really was... Everybody was waiting, basically, for this movie, and they expected to see it, you know, in episode 1, then episode 2, but it's like, no, you're not going to see it until the last one.
Right.
So it's like...
Well, the animation of that dirt flying up in the air, that's just...
Yeah.
That's just insane.
Again, the genius of ILM and... who is it? John Knoll is the supervisor on this?
The animation supervisor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Grievous is just taking a pounding right there. And, I mean, when you see him in Clone Wars, he's just tearing people up left and right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's downright scary in Clone Wars. He's just...
Well, I mean, at the same... But also, I mean, you know, the thing is, I mean, again, you go back to that scene with what Mace Windu did to him at the end of Clone Wars, but also the fact that, I mean, you know...
Obi's taking a pretty good beating here.
Yeah, Obi-Wan here is...
I mean, speaking of taking a beating...
I like the ending of this fight, though.
I do, too.
This is a pretty good... Sucks. You know.
Oh, dang.
Really?
Come on.
A Jedi killing Grievous with
well, it's acknowledged, though. The absurdity of it is acknowledged in that line.
I'm sorry, but it's still just too absurd.
No, it's...
I mean, come on.
The thing is, I mean, this is hand-to-hand combat. This is something you don't see from a Jedi, and this is something
that's why
have the safety of that lightsaber. I mean... You know, it's not like all of his Jedi techniques are going away.
Right.
He still uses the Jedi gravity.
Yes, it takes you by, it's a somewhat unwelcome surprise, the fact that, he just kills him with a blaster as opposed to a lightsaber.
But I like the fact that I like how it's different.
It's sort of like Jedi street fighting.
I would have preferred that with something other than Grievous. I would have liked that, Grievous to been,
It's like he killed Darth Maul with a lightsaber.
I mean, we get that with the death of Count Dooku. I mean, that's pretty spectacular.
This is something different from what we've seen.
That's the intention.
But again, maybe and perhaps it was just because I was let down with the saber battle in the beginning. The first saber battle between them. Perhaps it was just because I was just let down with that. I wanted it a little bit more.
But I like how it's different. I mean,
I feel that different is fine. It's just I'm just not happy overall with that. I mean, not that it's not cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just not happy with it overall. the chase of the big wheel. The saber fight not quite enough, and then kill with the blaster. I mean, it could have been cooler killing with the blaster. I mean, it just didn't work.
It's still pretty cool. Like, it's burned up from the insides.
Just not feeling it the way that I would expect it. And I think that's kind of a problem with this movie, is that it's hard to live up to the hype that everybody expects, because we wanted to see, we were going to see the whole story, just like we just talked about. We're going to see the whole story.
Yeah.
It's going to be genius, And what we get was, not something that's not bad, but it's pretty impossible to live up to the hype, that was expected of.
It goes back to episode one. How could that possibly live up to like that?
Granted, he didn't have the release.
Not impossible hype. I mean, it really was impossible hype. I mean, I have to say, I love this little scene here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't necessarily think you need to put Palpatine's, sort of
voice
in there to get the point across, but I mean, I do buy this.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the music, and I love.
I buy the drama in this.
The dilemma in this, and sort of.
I like how the music reflects what's going on inside Anakin's head.
That's just
superb.
And to a certain extent, what you sense is going on in Padme's head too, because you think that you do sort of get the impression that she realizes that Anakin's pretty.
He's gone.
Anxious about something.
Mm-hmm.
She may not necessarily know what.
Well, not the love theme.
Yeah.
In there as well.
Yeah. I was going to say that's brilliant. First of four just remarkable scores Williams did last year.
Dang. He did four movies last year, didn't he?
Four amazing.
Yeah.
Movie scores, too.
Yes.
It's like, if he'd been nominated for any of... I mean, he was nominated for two of them, but, I mean, if he'd been... He could have been nominated for any of them, and I would have.
Another disappointing one.
Oh,
jeez. Another
disappointing.
I don't mind this, like...
Come on, I mean...
The edit to this, it's a little awkward.
The lead-up to this is not great.
Yeah.
Kit Fisto just getting killed.
That's what I'm saying. The lead up to this is not that great.
But when Clone Wars, he's like kicking ass.
Yeah, but when Palpatine and Mace go at it, it's not bad.
I
agree. The lead up is not great because, like you said,
you start off cool,
these guys,
and then I don't know what the hell that movie was, but what was that? Boom, gone. What? He lasts another couple of seconds.
No, I agree
with
you.
Cheesy death. Pathetic. And now we have the actual, with the whole scene, point of the scene was about with these two guys fighting. But did you have to kill off three Jedi immediately? Come on. I mean, Palpatine's the man.
The
he's not the man.
Well, I really...
Isn't the point of this whole thing, though, the fact that... Isn't the whole point of this is
Mace's death?
How powerful
but we didn't
the dark side has become?
But we didn't see that power being displayed right there. We saw some arms waving around and died falling over like babies. That's what we saw. We saw nothing. We saw zero. If Palpatine's going
to fight
four Jedi,
right now.
I expect amazing stuff to be happening. I expect he's going to be flying all over the place, heads being cut off. What we saw there was crap. What we saw was a quick 5 seconds to get to this battle right here, which is cool.
Yeah.
But a wasted chance mm-hmm. to see, you know, mm-hmm. a really cool Jedi battle between Palpatine and, like, four other dudes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you put it like
okay.
That.
Yeah, I'll give it. I'll
yeah,
give
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just again. Compare the Clone Wars and the way they fight.
I mean, I will
you're
give
right.
that
you're
to
right.
you.
I mean, especially well, let's try and keep it down.
Right.
Sorry, but no, I mean, I yes, when you look at compare, no, I mean, Kit Fisto did not deserve to go down like that.
Right.
No.
Right. I mean, he went down.
He's a complete badass. And,
right.
I mean, Clone Wars and Episode 2.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But.
I think, like, you know, I just never put that kind of much thought into it just because I was so much into the movie at this point.
That's horrible.
No,
yeah.
I like that. I love that.
No. I'm not really a fan of
it.
I love that.
As much as
it's
I
so cheesy that it works. I love that.
Takes you completely out of the
No. I like that moment.
I will admit.
I like that moment.
As much as I love McDermott's performance in this movie.
Right.
I like that. I love the cheesiness of it.
You get.
Horrible.
Yes,
I love
sort of leading into what his voice as the Emperor is.
I love the cheesiness.
But.
It's so
I can't
great.
Buy. No,
I buy
I'm
it.
Sorry. I have.
I guess.
To,
do I stay
I go
on
with
on
Dave
this
on
that?
That
I guess.
I go with Dave. On
it's
that
just.
One,
it's the total. It's the total cheesiness of it.
You know, and he's. I mean, he's done that type of voice better before.
Oh yeah.
You know that.
Oh,
was,
yeah.
That was way too over the top.
Yeah.
He's done that.
Oh,
better.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. I love that.
That's
I mean, if he had led in,
It's a wonderful kind of disturbing kind
the,
of turn of.
If he had started out
right,
in the
right.
regular Palpatine voice and
mm-hmm.
ended
mm-hmm.
there, it might have worked.
Mm-hmm. I love how I just like how it's kind of disturbing and weird, you know. And it's just kind of, that's why I buy it. I just buy the kind of disturbing weirdness to it.
The death of the man.
Yeah. And he said it's like he had to go out. He wasn't going to go out, like...
Quietly.
Yeah.
Like the other three guys who went down.
Yeah.
And now we're seconds away, or minutes away, from
mm-hmm.
seeing the worst makeup job in the Star Wars trilogy.
There is... Yeah, I have to admit, it's like, there is...
Where? When he puts the hood on, or what?
I can't quite remember. There
that's not that great.
Thanks.
See now, I mean,
with everything else I've seen,
with the resources they have available to them,
which they've clearly shown time and time again,
mm-hmm.
how genius it can be. That's crap.
That could be bad.
Well, see now, I mean, I never. Because I'm never at any point bounced out of the movie, so I'm believing it. That's why
I didn't.
I don't. See
I didn't bounce out of the movie either.
That bounced my ass for mine.
But I can admit that that's not a great makeup.
Well, no.
Because I mean, I was already out the door with no. That just sealed the deal. What did you guys feel about this happening like too quickly? You know, the pledging of myself. You know, because some people have mentioned that, you know, it just kind of went straight into that.
Oh, you know,
the thing is, it's like, I think you've...
See,
he sort of sounds a little bit like Marlon Brando in there, but
see, I continue not to be thrown out of the movie. I'm just like
you get where I'm coming from, though.
I get where you're coming from.
I believe this. I believe it's better.
You know,
and
it's not like I'm not believing it.
I guess I just haven't.
I mean, we're doing the commentary.
Yeah.
We're being critical, and so I'm picking out some of the points that that really.
And I'm counteracting your criticism.
But going back
as best
to
as
like,
I can.
Going back to what you were asking about, whether I felt that moment gone too quickly about him pledging himself. I don't think so, because of the fact that you get hints in their previous interaction that he is clearly leaning towards that direction.
Which, again, intellectually,
you know he does anyway.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know the story past that.
Right.
I didn't think it happened too quickly.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm saying is the
fact that it was set up well enough up until then.
And I guess some people didn't feel like it was set up well enough, and they felt that because we knew it was supposed to happen anyway.
Oh, exactly.
That they could kind of jump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some people, it was probably set up better than others.
This is as dark and as twisted as this relationship is. It's actually really beautiful in a way. There's a real.
There's a substance to this.
There's a really.
I understand what you're trying to get to.
Like Dave said, there's a substance to it, and I think that in itself is
right. Whether or not you think that his pledging to him was rushed or not, there was a reason behind it. This is not just hitting the beats in terms of Star Wars. You could actually feel that there was some sort of drama there,
some
sort of relationship there. There's some sort of dependency happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a credit to how well Lucas established the relationship, this sort of mentor, apprentice relationship, even going back to episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of get hints of it too. Here, it's a little more intimate. It's more intimate than it was in there, but this is actually a cue you never really hear proper, but was on the episode 2 soundtrack. You never really heard it proper in episode 2. You sort of got hints of it during the arena battle, but
unfortunately,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was a. I thought they could have probably gone a little edgier with this part, this was already intense enough.
I agree.
I thought they did a good job capturing with the music and with the imagery. They did a good job capturing how intense that scene was supposed to be,
without making it too
right.
Yeah,
too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Still not animated that well.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm glad that King Kong, that the effects Oscar went to King Kong this week, because that was.
Isn't this a little bit of a point of contention with some fans? The fact that they sort of get the idea, in what Obi-Wan says in episode 4 that Anakin had a greater role in hunting down the Jedi than he really does in this. I mean, here he just raids the Jedi Temple.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with this. I love the way this is visualized, and I love the way it was staged. It was amazing.
Yeah, and we see a lot of the Jedi die, but haven't we seen all the Jedi die? It could be implied that Vader went around the galaxy, did a couple rounds around the galaxy, killing some people off.
But this happens. This happens all pretty in a matter of a couple of days.
Right. But know, they configure the Jedi Temple's computer to, you know, tell everybody else to stay away. So
yeah,
you know, I mean, we know we can.
But you also know that in the original trilogy, though, that Yoda and Obi-Wan are all that's left.
Right. So what I'm saying is that, you know, there may be some Jedi out there that are still alive right at the end of this movie that Vader goes about
that's
death,
true.
You know. That's all I'm saying. You know,
yeah.
We don't know that all of them are dead at the end of this movie. There still could be some alive. Mm-hmm. But, I do feel that, you know, I expected to see Vader come in and start chopping off Jedi heads.
Yeah.
And we don't really get that.
But I think it's,
well, there's a
I
wonderful
think it's even more effective that you just see him going after
right.
the young ones.
Yeah.
It's even more effective when you see that, because, I mean, you know he's not the most powerful, like, Jedi Knight. So
right.
it's like, or Jedi Knight, so it's like, you know, I mean, that would be, I mean, he can't even beat Obi-Wan in the end, so it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I love this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a pretty huge battle there. And I thought this was a good capturing of, you know, just the way Yoda is. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, if Yoda's going to get attacked, you know, what would it be like?
Exactly like that.
Right.
Yeah. Where he's just going to kick
just
ass. And I know you love this scene, this part, Ron, the fact that, you know, Yoda climbs on Chewie's shoulders.
Right.
And so, like, that's awesome. I mean, I think all you really need to see Anakin doing is this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really a huge. I mean, I remember reading about this scene before seeing the movie, and it's like, wow. I mean, that says it all.
What's interesting is, like, if you watch this with a home theater, like, the igniting of Anakin's lightsaber in that moment is like they really hit the base on that. And
yeah,
like it's really powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Really push the base on that. I just remember just being like the watching this. I guess, did we see this on opening night?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember saying, "Holy crap! I'm actually being moved here."
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, "Oh my god, this does feel mythic." You know.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith's here as Bail Organa.
And there's a note coming up here that's like, you know, you saw in the trailer and you're like, oh god, they're gonna have one of those moments.
But it really works.
It works here.
It really works well.
It does.
I mean, it's one of those things where
it's better than the Obi-Wan know in Episode One. Yeah,
or another one coming up,
which we'll
later.
Discuss and I'm sure we'll debate because I don't really have a problem with that one. This is George Lucas' son right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of neat.
That's kind of cool.
No!
I mean, it was better than the long, stretched out no. Yeah,
the
that
trailer.
Was actually a well done no right there.
Yeah. I love the little breathing apparatus. And just like, you know, just like these are all like little tiny little things that like bring the trilogy full circle. Like, you know, the trinket on Padme and Padme's little, you know.
I mean, again, this is just an example. Just, I mean, you understand watching Obi-Wan in this movie why he lived. You understand completely why he survived.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you understand completely why Yoda survived.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you understand. You know, you feel like you know those characters so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you not that you already did in the original trilogy, but I mean, you know them even more, and you understand them so well that, you know, it's like you know why.
Wonderful
they
use
were
of the
one
Yoda
of
theme.
Yeah.
Spot.
Yeah,
it's like it's just.
Goodbye, Chewie.
Goodbye, Tarful. Miss you, I will.
Rebel blockade runner. first scene.
Yeah, I remember this moment inside, getting a reaction from the audience.
Yeah.
Just like, and there's like, oh.
Wow, that's classic.
Yeah. Yep. Like, just the fact that it's not a green screen and it's,
yeah,
it's, you know, it's a practical set is special. Where the hell did he get this ship? I mean, where did this come from?
I mean, this is, you know, that's Grievous,
that's
right
Grievous.
There.
Oh, that is Grievous, is it?
Yeah. See, you see where he hit it, right over, right back
yeah.
there.
Well, I'm saying that's not the one he arrived in.
No,
yeah.
But no.
He's like where's, a Mustang.
Yeah. There's a thing about the score that why I had a problem with it, and you know, like his the tone of the score in the first two, you know, it's like I wasn't crazy about it just because, like, you know, it was a specific score for a specific movie, you know, and maybe the score was, you know, on par, but like the movie wasn't. But you know, but if you watch this movie with, you know, that kind of score, you know, right here, that's,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we're going back to, like, you know, how, you know, Williams isn't scoring a war movie, you know, like he was with the first three. He's scoring a political thriller.
Well,
you know, it's like,
yeah, yeah,
but like, you know, but just the way his language in the music in these three movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously, you know, much different language than, you know, the original trilogy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with scores he did in between the two series. And I mean, even scores they did during those two series. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, like his
but it's
use
like
of
I don't, I don't
over the years has gotten
yeah.
more daring. His
but
use
I, but I'm saying, like, I didn't believe the language of his score in episode 1 and 2, but here I do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does that make
yeah.
sense to you,
Dave? Because of the fact that you see him bringing the sound of the first trilogy and the sound of the second trilogy together.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the challenges that I remember, I believe, reading him talking about how interesting it was in tying the two series together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the unique challenges of this series. So it's,
I mean, there is not nearly enough printed, you know. I mean, when is he going to do, like, his memoirs or something? Because, like, I mean, it's like, there's not nearly.
He doesn't have, I hate to say it, I'm not sure how much time he has left to do that.
I mean, I'm just saying that, like, there is not nearly enough printed material of, you know, his.
No.
Just like,
and,
you know.
And the thing is, it's like, from what.
I mean, I remember reading one interview of his in Film Score Monthly.
Yeah.
You know, and that's about, you know, just like, I mean, just.
I mean, I think he's one of those people like Spielberg where it's like he really wants to really more let the work speak for itself
mm-hmm.
than, which is, you know, why we've never heard a commentary by Spielberg, even though he's
mm-hmm.
done so many movies where
mm-hmm.
we would love to hear commentaries
yeah.
on from. You know, I mean, I would love to hear John Williams talk about this music for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, 12 hours.
Yeah.
Just do a commentary for every single film. But, no, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's like there's some people who really just want, you know.
The material.
Not that,
it's
not that he doesn't necessarily enjoy talking about it. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he doesn't, from what I've heard. He's
mm-hmm.
just a wonderful person to
discuss,
you know, be around with.
Yeah. And discuss
but,
film music with.
Yeah. But it's like
you get a hint of that in all the documentary material he shows up in,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like,
mm-hmm. which unfortunately is lacking in the Star Wars.
Yeah, it is.
Thing.
It really is.
You know,
it's
I mean,
really
Spielberg gives him like his own featurettes in a lot of his DVDs, but
mm-hmm.
it's like
mm-hmm.
you don't really.
That's
hear
a good
too
point.
Much.
Yeah.
I love this
visually.
Like,
this is a very exciting. Yeah.
Mustafar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kashyyyk is probably my favorite planet. You know. In terms of context, but like, yeah, I mean, visually, Mustafar is
probably one of the more difficult ones to do.
Yeah.
I was surprised to hear how much, you know, real footage of lava was shot for this.
Huh.
Like, you know, apparently a good, you know, 30-40% of this is actual footage.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of it's expensive to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not to mention pretty hard to do, I would think, you know. But
yeah.
But again, you know, it's only 30-40%. I mean, the rest of it is, you know,
industrial light mass.
Yeah. Oh, we run out of steam here?
No, I can't imagine that we have. It's one of those expositional scenes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Really,
I guess so.
What to say?
The story is gearing up to some.
It's kind of winding down for the climax.
For a brief moment, it's like then we start to get into the hardcore stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably my favorite Frank Oz performance of the original trilogy, anyway.
Or you mean the?
Well, I mean, I'm saying like the work he's done on this trilogy. This is my favorite performance.
You said original trilogy. That's what threw me.
This
isn't the original trilogy.
No, didn't I say this trilogy or did I say?
No, you said original.
Well, crap. You know what I meant, though.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Like,
I had a hard. It's like, wait a minute.
I mean,
but
we're gonna have to rewind this and listen to it. I'm pretty sure I said
he's gonna do all the dirty work here.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You don't want to see this.
You really don't.
And this is. I mean,
reference episode 4. Mm-hmm. The little.
Well, just there. This is. I mean, I get so much joy out of this.
Oh yeah.
This
I mean,
just,
you know.
Gotta say,